This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In continuation from our lesson last week, when the last thing that we discussed was who the siyam, the fasting, is compulsory on. And I mentioned a line of poetry, وَيَلْزَمُ الصِّيَامُ كُلَّ قَادِرِ مِنْ مُسْلِمٍ مُكَلَّفٍ وَحَاضِرِ. Okay, the siyam is wajib upon every single qadir, somebody who has the ability. So the person who doesn't have the ability to fast, the fasting is not wajib upon that individual. And we gave a couple of scenarios, like an individual who is maternally ill? Somebody who is maternally ill, somebody who does not expect to recover. Terminally, not maternally. Maternally is a paternal. That was Nabil's fault. Somebody who is internally ill. Somebody who's terminally ill, okay, and he does not expect to recover from the sickness that he is suffering from. Another thing that the scholars, they mention with regards to this issue, someone who might not necessarily have the capability to fast, is a woman who is pregnant, okay, and also a woman who is breastfeeding her child. Because you have a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, the hadith of Anas, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَضَعَ لِلْمُسَافِرِ نِصْفَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ. Okay, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَضَعَ لِلْمُسَافِرِ نِصْفَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمَ وَعَنِ الْحَامِلِ وَالْمُرْضِعِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cut half the prayer for the person who is fasting. And we know that he's allowed to shorten, right? If he's praying dhuhr, he's allowed to pray too, right? And likewise for Asr, and he's also able to combine. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the musafir also, he has been pardoned with regards to fasting. Then that which was followed up after that was al-hamil wal-murdi', the woman who's pregnant and also the woman who's breastfeeding. But the scholars, they say, فَإِنْ أَفْتَرَتْ الْحَامِلُ وَالْمُرْضِعُ خَوْفًا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمَا قَضَتَا فَقَتْ. صاحب الأقصى ابن بلبان رحمه الله تعالى mentions الأقصى المختصرات. Okay, if the woman who is pregnant and also is breastfeeding, she fears for herself, meaning she fears for her health, okay, then that which is required of her is to make up these days. Not every individual who's pregnant, like a woman, she's what, 2 weeks pregnant, and she doesn't fear for her health, she doesn't have a sickness. Is this woman allowed to break her fast? The answer is no. Only when she now fears for herself, she fears for her health, they say it's okay for her to make up that day. Okay? وَإِنْ خَافَتَا عَلَىٰ وَلَدَيْهِمَا. If now they fear for their child, like a woman now that's breastfeeding, she fears that if she breastfeeds, the milk inside of her breast is going to reduce. And the walad here, this child, yatadarrar, he is going to become harmed by this. Okay? If they now fear for themselves, we said what? They only have to make it up. But if they fear for the child, whether this woman is pregnant or whether she is breastfeeding this child, then she also has to pay fidya. She would also need to pay fidya. A woman that was pregnant came to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and he said to her, أنتي بمنزلتي التي أو بمنزلتي الذي لا يطيق الصيام. You have the same position as the one who doesn't have the capability to fast. وعليك الفداء. That which is upon you also is to pay fidya. And this is where this whole issue came about of paying fidya. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and also other companions, they held this view. واضح. And this is the official position of the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Okay, so the poet, what did he say? وَيَلْزَمُ الصِّيَامُ كُلَّ قَادِرِ مِنْ مُسْلِمٍ مُكَلَّفٍ وَحَاضِرِ. The other issue that we're going to discuss inshallah ta'ala, I already spoke about the signs of bulugh, right, of puberty. We discussed this last week.
okay? And somebody who also isn't religiously obliged is somebody who is majnoon, somebody who doesn't have sanity. A majnoon, somebody who doesn't have sanity. Do we say to that individual, you need to go and fast? The answer is no. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثِ. The pen has been raised from three different people. عَنِ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِضْ. The one who's sleeping until he wakes up. وَعَنِ الصَّغِيرِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ. The child until he reaches the age of puberty. وَعَنِ الْمَجْنُونِ حَتَّى يَعْقِلَ أَوْ يُفِقْ. And also the majnoon, somebody who doesn't have sanity until he what? Gains sanity again. واضح? That's very, very important. Sometimes you find a parent saying, oh, just let him fast. No, you shouldn't let him fast. The pen has been raised. He doesn't get a reward for it. As for the child, okay, the child who hasn't reached the age of puberty, if he decides to fast and the parents encourage him to go and fast, he will get the reward for it. But is there a must upon him? The answer is no. So there's a difference now between the majnoon and also the child who hasn't reached the age of puberty. So then the poet, he says, وَحَاضِرِ. Somebody who's resident. This is also a very deep issue now. There's a lot of things that people tend to get mixed up with regards to the one who is resident or the one who goes out and he travels. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to touch on a couple of things. With regards to a musafir, somebody who's traveling, is the fasting wajib upon that individual? بِالْإِجْمَاعِ. It has been unanimously agreed that this individual can break his fast. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, what does he say? فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Whoever is sick or a traveler, this individual, he can fast on another day. Also, you have the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. كُنَّا نُسَافِرُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوْ سَافَرْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمِنَّا الصَّائِمُ وَمِنَّا الْمُفْتِرِ. Anna said, from amongst us when we were traveling with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was from those who were fasting and there were from those who weren't fasting. فَلَمْ يُعِبِ الصَّائِمُ عَلَى الْمُفْتِرِ وَلَى الْمُفْتِرِ عَلَى الصَّائِمُ. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. The person who wasn't fasting didn't criticize the person who was fasting. And likewise the other way around. So this is now happening in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a sunnatun taqririyya. In usul al-fiqh, you know that the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sunnah, right? And also the action of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sunnah. There's something else called the acknowledged sunnah. Something happens in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he acknowledges it. And he doesn't disapprove or criticize that action that is being done in front of him. Hafiz al-Hakimi, in his Wasilatul Husul, he says, وَمَا بِعِلْمٍ مِنْهُ قِيلَ أَوْ فُعِلْ وَلَمْ يُغَيِّرْهُ فَكَالْفِعْلِ جُعِلْ. وَمَا بِعِلْمٍ مِنْهُ قِيلَ أَوْ فِعْلٍ. That which happens in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's an action or whether this is a statement, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to know about it, this is like an action of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? Sunnatun taqririyya. And also, another issue that tends to arise is, what if a companion did or said something, okay, in the absence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's usul al-fiqh. I like to go into these kind of things. It's very, very important. So you know how to deal with a lot of these things that happen in the time of Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know also how to reconcile between the different evidence, the different actions as well. واضح? What if a companion done something, but he didn't reach the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can we say this is a hujjah? All of you guys said no. Huh?
You can.
Nabeen is retracting from his statement.
Huh?
So now, a companion, he does something. For example now, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, كُنَّا نَعْزِلُ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَنْزِلُ. We used to practice the act of al-azl, which basically means to retrieve at the time of ejaculation. واضح? وَالْقُرْآنُ يَنْزِلُ. And the Qur'an was coming down. وَلَوْ كَانَ شَيْئًا يَنْهَانَ عَنْهُ لَنَهَانَ عَنْهُ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, if there was something that was going to prohibit us from doing this act, the Qur'an would have come down. So if something now happens in the absence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he doesn't know about it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want this act to carry on taking place, an ayah is going to come down. This is why Hafid al-Hakim, he says, وَقَوْلُ بَعْضَ صَحْبِ كُنَّا نَفْعَلُ فَمَا نُهِينَ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَنْزِلُ. The statement of some of the companions, we used to do so and so, and we weren't prohibited while the Qur'an was coming down. This hadith that I just mentioned of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he says, Hafid al-Hakimi, فَظَاهِرُ التَّقْرِيرِ لَوْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُوا لِلْعِلْمِ إِذْ بِالْوَحِي قَدْ يُذَكَّرُوا وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنُ السُّرُورُ اخْتَرَنَا فَهُ عِبَادَةٌ كَلَوْ أَخْبَرَنَا. So the Qur'an will come down very, very quickly, prohibiting them of the action. Are you with me, guys? So whether this happens in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it being a statement, something being said, or an action, he came to know about it, this is great. We say this is a sunnah taqririyah. And likewise, if something now happens in the absence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if the Messenger didn't come to know about it, and Allah azza wa jal didn't want this issue to continue, an ayah is going to come down. And this is exactly what Hafid al-Hakim in these lines of poetry is referring to. So it happened in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's presence that they were fasting and they were also breaking the fast. And the Messenger did not disapprove. Wadih? And it's not permissible aslan for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi to see something wrong taking place in front of him and then he's quiet about it. Because there's another principle that you will learn. لا يجوز تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة. It is not permissible for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to delay clarifying something that they need to know about at the time of its need. And he himself, he said what? مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. So if it was wrong, he would have what? Disapproved of it. So we have the unanimous agreement, and also we have this being established through the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that it is permissible. It is permissible. Even if he's not going through any difficulty, for him now to break his fast bil ijma' by unanimous agreement. طيب. When a person now travels, okay, and he also fasts, he has three different halat. It's very important. I'm going to discuss later on, inshallah ta'ala, is it better for a person, better, pay attention to his wording, is it better for him to break his fast when traveling? Or is it better for him not to do so? That's an issue, a discussion we're going to have, inshallah ta'ala, later on. But an individual now, he's fasting. Sometimes he might go through some difficulty, right? Write down these three different cases. If this individual now is traveling and is also fasting, and the fasting is really badly affecting his health, we say that it's haram for him to fast on his travels. He would have to, it would be wajib upon that individual to break it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say to you to affect your health. And one time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a rajulan qad dhullil alayhi. He saw a man that was being shaded. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, what is this? He said, this individual is fasting. He responded back and he said, laysa min al-birri as-siyamu fi as-safar. It is not from piety fasting while you are on your travels. Meaning, while you are traveling and you're making yourself go through all of this difficulty. In another narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أُولَٰئِكَ الْعُصَاهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الْعُصَاهُ. They are disobedient individuals. They are disobedient individuals. Wadih, guys? So if now the fasting that one observes on his travels and it is affecting his health really badly, we say to the individual, you have to break your fast. The second case, he has some sort of mashaqqa. He's finding it, you know, somewhat difficult, but not so difficult as the first case scenario. In that case, we say to him, it is better for you and it is a sunnah for you to break your fast. Is it wajib? The answer is no. And likewise, in both cases, if one was to persist and fast, even though he's severely affecting his health, his fasting would still be sahih, but he would be sinful for it in the first case. Wadih, guys? Jameel. The third case is, this individual, he doesn't find any difficulty whatsoever. Wadih? He doesn't find any difficulty whatsoever. Okay? He can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. طيب. Is it now better for a person to break his fast when traveling? Or is it not? In the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, it is better for him to break his fast when traveling. Where did he get this from? You have the hadith of Hamzat ibn Amr al-Aslami. He came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Rasulullah, إني أجد بقوة على الصيام في السفر. I have strength when traveling, okay? And I'm also observing the fast. فهل علي جناح? Is there a sin upon me? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded back and he said, هي رخصة من الله. This is a legislated concession from Allah Azza wa Jal. فمن أحب أن يصوم فهو حسن. Whoever wants to fast, this is good, great. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُفْتِرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. And whoever wants to also break his fast, there is no harm upon that individual. Narrated by Muslim. So the fact that the Messenger said, هي رخصة من الله, this is a legislated concession from Allah. There's another hadith that pushes this view of it what? Being better according to Madhab Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. The Messenger said in another hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ تُؤْتَى رُخَصُهُ كَمَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ تُجْتَنِبْ مَعَاصِيهِ. Allah loves for you to take the legislated concession, to take the rukhsa. Just as He loves for you to stay away from the things that He dislikes. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? So rukhsa here, Allah loves for you to take the legislated concession. So based on that, they said, it is better. Allah loves for you to break your fast when you are traveling. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala is by himself on this issue. You have the overwhelming majority of the scholars who say it is better for a person not to break his fast. Where do we get this from? You have the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Okay? He said, كنا نسافر مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في شدة الحر. We traveled with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and it was really, really hot. وَإِنْ كَانَ أَحَدُنَا لَيَضَعُ يَدَوْ عَلَى رَأْسِي مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْحَرْ. And we used to put our hands on our heads, on our foreheads here like that, because of it being so, so hot. وَمَا فِينا صَائِمٌ إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنَ رَوَحَ. And the only one that was fasting from amongst us was who? The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and عبد الله بن رواحة. So they said it is better. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam only normally does that which is better. So based on this hadith, you have the likes of the Shafi'iyya, and other than them, the Maliki and the Ahnaf, they say it is better. Wadih, my brothers and my sisters? So anyways, we don't want to go into comparative fiqh, but I thought I'd mention that anyway. Sometimes if Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala is by himself, I'll just slightly mention it inshaAllah ta'ala. Then there's also other views. These are not the only two views. There's another view, but the rajih, when you look at the outweighed opinion on this issue, is that a person, he does that which is aisar for him. That which is easier for him. Are you with me, guys? He does that which is easier for him. Tayyib. An individual now, he wakes up, okay, he's fasting, and then he decides to go and travel. When can he break his fast? Can he break his fast while he's still in LE12? That's the postcode for Loughborough, right? L11. Or LE2, huh?
LE11.
LE11. He's getting emotional about it. Postcode wars, huh? We've got some of our brothers who are killing one another because of postcodes there in London. طيب. Or can he only break his fast after hitting the road? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us with regards to shortening our prayers, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَنْ تَخْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Once you hit the road, there is no harm upon you, huh? To shorten your prayers. What does the person do? إِذَا تَجَاوَزَ الْمَبَانِي. When he reaches the outskirts, مثلاً, he gets onto the M1. What's the nearest motorway here? M1, right? In Leicester, once you hit the M1, or maybe the M69. Huh? Sheikh said otherwise. Huh?
Well, the moment he made the intention to be in Safar, that's he is in Safar now.
So the brother, he mentioned, the moment he made the intention, that's when he can break his fast. طيب, this is an issue that the scholars have strongly differed on. The madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, okay, وهذه في رواية. This is a position in the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala and is very, very strong. He says that you can only break your fast once you reach the outskirts. إِذَا تَجَاوَزَ الْمَبَانِي. مثلا he gets onto the M1. That's maybe the best way to put it. Where did he get this from? حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه. أنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج عام الفتح إلى مكة. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم when he went to go and conquer مكة, okay, فصام حتى بلغ كراع الغميم. He carried on fasting until he reached an area called كراع الغميم, which is 60 kilometers from Mecca. So from Medina all the way till كراع الغميم, he carried on fasting. فصام الناس معه, and the people they also fasted with him. ثم دعا بقدح من ماء فرفعه ثم شرب. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he asked for a qadah of ماء, a little bowl of ماء, water. It was brought to him. He raised it in front of everybody. ثم شرب, then he drank it. فقيل له بعد ذلك إن بعض الناس قد صام قال أولئك العصاة أولئك العصاة. It was said to him that some people they carried on fasting. He said أولئك العصاة, they are disobedient, they are disobedient. على كل حال, this is a position in the madhab Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى. Also أبي بصرة الغفاري, a companion of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, okay, he got onto the ship. When the ship started moving, he asked for his lunch to be brought. فقربه. It was said to him, what are you doing? Why are you breaking your fast? And then he explained that this is the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمن رغب عن سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فليس منا. Whoever now desires other than the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, this person is not from us. But again, Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى on this issue is by himself. You have the overwhelming majority who say, okay, that he is allowed to break it from the time he makes the intention. واضح؟ But like I mentioned earlier, and before as well, we are studying the madhhab Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى, so I'm going to be mentioning the views, and sometimes it's touching on the other views, just so you guys are aware that there is another view. Okay? So على أي حال, it is more safer that a person does not break his fast until he reaches the outskirts of his city, like getting onto the M1. Just the other day we was having a discussion, me and my dad, because he's, you know, going to be taking some of the mu'tamireen, some of the pilgrims to go and what? Perform Umrah. And the flight's leaving at 8:30. And they're leaving from Leicester, okay, at 1 in the morning. This is before what? Suhoor. So I had to clarify this issue with him. It's a common issue that tends to arise. It's better for a person to start his day while fasting. As soon as he gets onto the road, takes his food, and that's when he breaks it. طيب. The other day, a good friend of mine, some of you guys may know him, Ustad Khalid, when I was driving him home from one of the events, he told me, and we was going past Knightsbridge and Oxford Street, he said that he heard, but Allahu A'lam, okay, we don't build our religion on assumptions, and we don't start, you know, judging others based on assumptions, but he said he heard. And as I'm driving here, I thought maybe it would be very, very good to mention this issue. واضح? He says that some Arabs, okay, in the month of Ramadan, they leave their countries in order to come to London just so they don't have to fast. Allahu A'lam how authentic and how trustworthy that piece of information is. Maybe the brother can inshallah ta'ala enlighten us later on as well. Is that true?
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, you heard. I've heard, a lot of people have heard. But Allahu A'lam, okay? They come, some of these rich guys, they come and they start booking our hotels in Knightsbridge, Oxford Street, and they try to take the legislated concession of not having to fast in the month of Ramadan. Are you with me, guys? Because he's now considered to be a traveler, right? Huh? He's considered to be a traveler. Is it permissible for him not to fast? Huh? No, no, no.
Difference of opinion.
There's a qa'idah that the fuqaha they mention. Okay, أنه يعامل بنقيد قصده. The way this individual is dealt with, okay, is in a way where he receives the opposite of what he is treacherously making the intention for. This individual, okay, if he only traveled for the purpose of not wanting to fast, he is not allowed to use that legislated concession. واضح, my brothers and my sisters? So this is when this principle comes in very, very handy. If an individual now, okay, he tries to use a concession by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because it is for that reason why Allah azza wa jal legislated that for him, then he's not allowed to use that concession.
Al-mu'amalatu bi naqidi qasdihi. Naam.